You'll see today, week 2, Sunday notes. That's where you write. Did you bring your pen?
Yes.
Grant, no one else did. Okay. Marcel, yeah, okay. All right, so that's where you write in the book for today. And of course, page 7, that would be for your midweek group. As I said last week, this series fueled 50% of the power of this series is found in the small groups and the life groups. Because of course, you watch a 15-20 minute video with Steve Wimble. He goes and explains, and you write in your manual on page 7 this week, you'll follow on along as he talks. And the leader has a refueled manual of his own little one, and there's a whole lot of questions in there that gets asked after that video. And it's very, who enjoyed the video from the Tuesday, Wednesday night?
Amen.
Amazing, hey. So I want to encourage you, please join us. We still got some space. There's some tables outside. Where's the Jordan, you got space in your group still?
No,
you're very popular, eh? But we still have space in some of the life groups. Please, I want to ask you, if you're not yet in one of the life groups, please go outside. You'll see there's some of the folk outside there with some space, sometimes two, or maybe two or three or four or five guys in their group. They still have space to sign up. Please sign up for them with them. Take your manual, go and watch the videos, and fill them out. You got a manual there. If you can, remember to bring your $10. It's helpful. We'll pay half, and you can pay half. Otherwise, at the end of the manual, end of the series, you have to tear it and give our half back. I'm just kidding. You got to give the whole book back. And then, of course, how amazing have the devotions been? Grant, okay, well, great. You enjoyed the devotions? So, of course, the devotions, week 2, and they start on page 24, body, eat, and of course, it speaks more about the physical body that we'll speak about today. Amen. So please, friends, use this manual. It is very, very helpful. I've enjoyed it. I've loved it. And I think it's going to be great for us as a church. Amen. This is one of those series where you're going to get in what you put out. Oh, thank you, Ryan. Oh my gosh, this one's not even secondhand. Instant raise for you, Andrew. All right. And, you know, you get what you put out. As a matter of fact, today's message, you know, we've done identity, we've done one or two other series where it's been really a lot of thought process through it. And, you know, of course, there's actions involved, but a lot of revelation, a lot of stuff that gets put out that people enjoy. This one here, you know, you go, well, it's a lot of revelation, but also there's actions to it. There's the body, the mind, the soul, as we go on in week, obviously week 1, life to the full. Remember last week? Preached my heart out. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Number 2 today, love God with all your strength. We're going to talk about the physical body. Number 3 next week, the soul. The week after that, heart. The week after that, mind. And then number 6, the week 6, avoiding the red zone, avoiding the bottom 2 there. And so on, encourage you. Press into all of them. 6 weeks. Let's make this happen. Amen?
Amen.
And again, today, you know, it's not so much revelation that I'm going to talk, and you might go away going, wow, what amazing revelation. But you're going to come away with hopefully some handles and some more just practical stuff about how we operate. Amen? And some of the pitfalls that we can go through with our bodies and the way we operate. Because our bodies are very important. Matter of fact, four things to believe about our physical makeup. And 2 things to react to or respond to or to activate in order to outwork that. So big point number 1, God created my physical body. I know that sounds, you know, I know that, Craig. But if you think about the Lord having created our bodies and what that actually means for you and me, it is a gift that we've been given. And he wants us to think about it that way. Amen? So Genesis 1:27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Just quickly, ideologically, I know where you stand when it comes to male and female. I know where I stand. I know we stand as a church, rather as our culture or as our belief system, as our, in our doctrine, we believe in male and female, and you might want to come and box me, hold on, Craig, you know, you can have a baby and just dress it in black and white, not pink and blue. But interesting, the Bible says that God created male and female. Yeah. So whatever you want to say about that and whatever you want to argue about it, we don't have time to argue. We want to just go forward and believe and see the scripture as we see it. And the Bible says God created male and female, he created them. Amen. Amen. And that's where we stand with that. And you can think about that as you wish. Psalm 139, 13 and 15, it says, "For he created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." I mean, you try to get your mind around all that stuff. At the end of the day, God fashioned and shaped you together in your mother's womb. Okay, well, what about some people that come out, Craig, and there's issues, deformities? You know, we don't have all the answers, and we can't explain all that stuff away. Matter of fact, people say, if God is so good, if God exists, rather, why is there suffering in the world? Who's heard that? Well, I want to say, if God doesn't exist, why is suffering bad then? Who said it's bad? If we're just animals. No animal feels sorry for another animal who's just got broken back legs. They just leave it to die. Anyway, I'll leave that with you. You see, we don't have all the answers. We don't know why things were. We do know this, that Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, and because of that sin, as I said last week, what was the sin? Was the sin of unbelief that got them to eat of the fruit? Was it eating the fruit that made them sinners? No, it was the fruit of unbelief that caused them to do that. Satan came and brought a lie into their minds. They were saints, by the way. You know, we saints, I said last week, what causes us to sin? Because we have a predisposition to sinning? No. Because we believe the lie of the devil that what we're about to do surpasses the glory and the power of God, and I need this in my life now. Amen. And so Eve fell for the trick or for the lie. If God is that good, why is he stopping you? You won't die. Meantime, God said you will. And so she fell for the lie and she ate from the tree. So we know that because of that falling from grace and going into curse, the whole world being cursed because of Adam and Eve, I don't believe that the Lord cursed the earth, even though it says God said this. We know that because sin entered, where sin comes in, death comes in. Amen. We know that the fruit of sin is death. And so therefore, death entered through Adam and Eve into the world. I just feel like I'm off on a tangent, Jeb, but I know I've got 25 minutes left. Hey, Andrew? Andrew's saying, don't do it, Craig. Craig, stop. Back to the notes. Friends, my page is just blank. It's just for show. No, I'm just kidding. Sin entered the world, and so we live in a broken and fallen world. So when God fashioned and shaped, then God made someone broken. We don't have all the answers, but we know this. The Bible says God made us. He fashioned and shaped us. Amen. And maybe one day, when you get to heaven one day, we'll realize the truth and God will show us why everything panned out the way it did. But we know that Romans 8:28 says, God works all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Who's with me? Just on a side note, I want to say this. As a mother and a father, if you have a child who's wayward, keep praying for them. You've got to be free from the condemnation that the enemy will bring on you and say it's your fault that they like that because you did an A, B, C, D, E. You can be the best. Jesus was the best pastor anyone could ever had, and Judas still betrayed him. You can do the best job you think you can, and your child can still go wayward. Amen? So if you do a half-hearted job and your child goes wayward, don't blame yourself. Because what is that? At the end of the day, your child has to make up its own decisions and its own mind as to their own mind, where they're going. Amen? But we as moms and dads have to just pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. When? I don't know. But we're going to serve the Lord. Even if it means we'll serve him in heaven together. Amen? Just keep praying and be free of condemnation. Be free. Honestly, I felt God say that. Be free. Be free. It's not your fault. They got to make up their own minds. You be free. I have a friend of mine who was a pastor, planted many churches, 3 children, 2 serving God. 1 went very wayward into drugs, alcohol, wine, woman, and song for many, many years. Only came back to Jesus at like 38, 39, 40 years old. Just keep on praying. Amen. Pray circles around your kids. Anyway, the human body is a marvel of creation. Marvel of creation. You need to be a doctor, a hand doctor, a foot doctor, an eye doctor, a lung doctor, a heart doctor, a brain doctor, a spine doctor. You've got to study for years and years and years just to go down those roads and specialize. Ophthalmologist, not some any guy can, just any GP can be an eye doctor. You've got to study to be an ophthalmologist. Amen. That's how amazing and marvelous the creation of the human body is. Number two, it belongs to him. 1 Corinthians 17. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Number one, my body is a temple. It is wise at a temple because it houses the Spirit of God. You are not your own. Say, I am not my own. That's quite a powerful statement. Lord, help us. Amen? Help us. Help us see this stuff. Help us grow in this stuff, God. I'm telling you, the Father does not sit up in heaven going, now you dirty, rotten scoundrels, tapping his foot, listen to this guy preaching, now you bunch of this, that. He's not saying that. He loves us like children, like we are his kids. Amen. She can't be online now, my daughter. Okay. Oh, my son's here. Isaac, what the? Come to me afterwards, I'll tell you. Stop, don't pipe me to the back there. Come closer, guys. You know, things happen. I don't know, just as a natural dad, of course I get frustrated, I get whatever, but as a natural father, I still want to love and bless her and give to her. Amen? Both my kids, of course. You think about the father heart of God towards us. He doesn't want you to be in condemnation. He doesn't want you to be feeling bad about yourself. Ooh, always beating yourself up about how bad you are. These things here, it's just revelation for us to go, okay, it's one step closer to becoming who God's called me to become. That's all he asks of us, is to walk one step closer. Amen? Yeah. It's a walk, not a run. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Why was he saying that? Well, the context was sexual. We know that in 1 Corinthians, because they're also doing nyaga nyaga stuff. So he's saying, honor the Lord with your body. Because you're the temple, and the Holy Spirit's living in you. Think like that, son. Honor the Lord with your body. But, there's no buts. So I remember, actually, this up in the gym that I go to there, Fit for Life, just a bit of a shameless plug. Dawn's like, throw in virgin nectar there, babe. No. what was I saying? You distracted me. And it says there, God created it. Therefore, I must look after it. Up on the wall there. And, sometimes you go, well, hey, Lord, you gave me one body. Let me do my best to look after it. In whatever shape, form I am and however that works out. Amen? And I think that's what God's trying to communicate here. Is I own the body, Craig. I own that. So I'm giving it to you on loan, son. And you try and look after it as best you can. I mean, don't run it into the ground. Don't put oil in it. Do you know what I'm saying? But one day I shall receive a new heavenly body. 2 Corinthians 5, for we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. How powerful is that? That this is an earthly tent. I live in an earthly tent. I mean, that's quite a strange concept, that this is a tent. Peter says we're going to take the tent off. We're going to take this tent off one day and put on our heavenly body. Our heavenly, that's made by the hands of God, of course, so are these bodies, but you understand, the concept is that this is a tent. When you're in a tent and you're camping, you know you get out of that tent during the day and at night you go back inside. You zip it up and it saves you from the elements and helps you. So this is a tent that I walk around in every day, but yet it's the real me is inside here, and this is the arts, it reminds me of a movie. Remember that, what's that, MIC, TRC, HRC? Men in Black, MIB. Some of those strange aliens, they're blowing in there, and the whole thing comes off, and it's a funny thing inside it. You got it, bro? Absolutely. You like it. preaching to Grant this morning. It's like, that's where we are. When someone dies and they're laying there, that's the tent of their body. Their spirit has left them, the real them. Now, of course, God's going to raise that spirit, that body up again in that last day and reconstitute everybody together, all our atoms, if we've been blown to bits, wherever we may be. But at the end of the day, it's a tent. It's just an outside housing. Amen. For the one that's inside, that's eternal. For while we're in this tent, we groan and are burdened because you don't wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. What may be mortal may be swallowed up in life. So this is a mortal body, my human body, mortal body, and it has 70, 80, 90 years if I'm fortunate. Amen. And again, I want to say this. If you go, yes, Greg, well, I'm 65. I haven't looked after myself. Okay, well, listen. Forget about the past. Just focus on the future. Whatever you can do into the... Amen. Don't beat yourself up. Greg, I'm useless. No. Anytime the enemy... Anytime you think thoughts like that, you know it's the devil. Yes. Yes. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Yes. Amen. Yes. Satan is the... He accuses you. Are you useless? Look at you. You overeat. You overlock. Oh, geez, you're terrible. No, you just got to go, you know what? Hey, Lord, thank you for revelation. Thank you for truth. From today on, I'm making some changes, even if they're this big. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Something is better than nothing. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15. The body is that is sown and sown perishable is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. Is it raised? It's raised a spirit. So I have a natural body that's sown, it's mortal, it's problematic. Amen. Yeah. I'm 54 now. Well, now when I was 24, you know, when the bathroom was on, the lights are on, any light could be on, it didn't make a difference. I looked okay in the mirror. Now I gotta make sure lights above me, I gotta be careful. Things hanging here, dripping there. Sagging here, it's like, hold on a second. Turn that light off, amen. Because we just get older. I had some guys in my office on Friday, and I made a joke as they walked in, right? I said, okay, Grandpa. I was like, geez, bro, do I choke this guy out now or later? And I thought, with a beard like that, I said, I must be a trip stall. All right, and one day when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a big, thick beard. Wait, you check. You have nothing. All right. Sickness, disease. Whatever our body's going through now, sickness, disease, you know that one day we're going to have a body that's not going to have that. So thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that one day, whatever's wrong with my body is going to be right. I'm going to try and make it right this side of life, at least give myself the best chance I have. Why? Because I have a mission on earth, and I only have. And so I need to make that mission count as much as I can, as long as I can. While I'm on the bluff, it's going to be my community here. As Dawn said, thank you for coming yesterday. I'd love to have 150 people outside, amen? And we're going to get there. Yeah. We're going to maybe advertise a bit more and just stir people up. We go and love on the bluff, go and tidy up. And people made a difference, massive difference. I don't know how many cars there were, how many trips to the dump we made. But it was wonderful. And it's part of our mission. Yeah. Part of our mission. While we're on the bluff, while we're here, let's do what God's called us to do. Now, you don't have to be a Christian to go clean up, but you know what? We're doing it because of faith. Yeah. Amen. We're doing it because we know that the Lord tells us to live in this community, and we want to say, amen, we love our community. And we thank the Lord for changing the political climate and the political landscape, but we still do what we want to do in order to make it look good for ourselves. Amen. About 4 bucky loads. How's that? 4 bucky loads of stuff around from different places. All right, number 4. This is the 4th one. So God created my physical body. Number 2, it belongs to Him. Number 3, one day I shall receive a new heavenly body. Thank you, Lord. Number 4, while I'm on this body, I am to take good care of it. Or it's helpful to take good care of it. Amen. So 2 extremes to avoid here. Just quickly, one is idolatry. Now, the word idolatry, I mean, just, it's all about the body. Interesting, my kids are young, you know, any teenager, it's in their minds, it's all about what they look like, what they, you know, for the most part, it's all about that. If you go onto Instagram, you go onto YouTube, you go onto whatever, if you look good, you're good.
Yep.
Amen. Yep. The better looking you are, the better it is. People walk around, if they're good looking, they think, geez, look at me, I'm so important, whatever. At the end of the day, you didn't fashion the shape yourself, buddy. Amen. So what you have is just to be grateful and don't put your head up in the clouds. And at the end of the day, we just go, we got to just be real and not treat. You have some guys, it's all about the body. It's all about them, what they look like, their body. They spend hours and hours in the gym every waking moment. They eating all this, they drinking all that. And they just, it's just all about the body. And at the end of the day, actually, it becomes something that's unhealthy and obsessive. Yes. That's on the one extreme. And we want to avoid that extreme. We don't want to go down that road. It's good to be healthy. It's good to be fit. But you can't do it unless you're a professional sportsman and it's your job. Well, okay, different story. Like the guys fighting this morning in the UFC. Different story. That's what they do for a living. And you can give glory to God in that thing. Amen? I once was talking about mixed martial arts to some guys in the office. Another guy walked to, he was a Christian. He said, hey, God hates that sport because God hates violence, the Bible said. I said, bro, it's not violence. And listen, there's two guys punching each other's faces in. But they're not angry with each other. Amen. As a matter of fact, the more angry you are, the more chance you have to lose. Because you become emotional, make mistakes. So they're not angry at all. They're highly trained, highly skilled, no anger. As a matter of fact, oftentimes they'll hug each other afterwards. There's no anger. It's not violence as in God hates because I'm angry, I want to kill you. There's a difference there. Amen. Just to help some of those guys who are struggling with that. I've seen more violence on a rugby field. Just ask Bucky's, he'll tell you. All right, and number two, so one on the side is idolatry. So we don't idolize the thing, the tent that God gave us, because ultimately it's going to let us down. Here's Arnold Schwarzenegger, and we looked great when he was 25, maybe 35, 45. Now he's 75. Well, he looks in the mirror now, it's like that youthful look in his body's gone. That's what happens. Amen. If you're sitting in this room and you know that's the story, even you didn't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then number two, neglect. So idolatry, and then on the other hand, I just neglect it. It's like, hey, whatever comes, you know. It's like we don't want to avoid both extremes. Take good care of ourselves. You know, we make too little of our physical well-being. See, that tank of the physical, if I do too much, I don't know what's happening here. Maybe just take this out of my pocket. On the other side of my jeans, Tariq. I shouldn't say your name there. So, oh, his name's Tariq behind the sound desk. Okay. I was saying, you distracted me. Bad sleeping patterns. We need enough sleep. 100 years ago, there was no phones, no screens, no TVs. When I'm tired, the sun goes down. I've been working all day out in the field. I'm sunburned. My arms are sore. My legs are sore. I've been planting stuff, cutting stuff, growing stuff. Because most people are subsistence livers. They farmed for a living. There was no tastic for rice. And so they had to grow their own food and make their own. So they were fairly fit. They were in the sun for the most part. They drank fresh water and ate fruit and veggies for the most part, and meat. So I saw a great picture of a guy holding someone by their shirt and their legs like that, and it said, "You don't need a weed eater. All you need is a vegetarian." And the vegetarian's trying the grass. They're like, "Eh." So I'm sorry if you're a vegetarian. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that when they made altars and they took the heifer, or whatever they cut the calf, they stuck it on the altar, and it came up as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. So you know the Lord likes the smell of a bra. Just saying. So that's what they did, and they went there, and then at night time the sun went down, and they did a few odds and ends, and then they were asleep, probably 8 or 9 o'clock. They woke up when the sun came up, 4 o'clock, obviously in the morning, winter. Excuse me. The sun came up later, and so their body clocks just probably adjusted to the sunrise and sunset. But for you and I, and for the most part, we have our screens and we watch TV, and at 11:30, you're still on your phone in your bed. You got to wake up early, and then you wake up, oh my gosh. And the older you get, the worse it gets. At least when you're in your 20s or 30s, you didn't look bad. When you get to your 50s and 60s, you have sleep, you start looking worse. Amen? No matter how much cucumber you put on your face, they ain't going to change nothing. You stop putting cucumber juice in your eyes, it's not going to change anything. Because that's the unhealthy part of it for us, friends. So we've got to watch that. So there's all this, like, you know, addiction to cell phones and that. We want to give it to our kids, our teenagers. Yeah, look at that stuff. It's good. Okay, it's how bad it is. Meantime, you're on your phone at 11:30 watching YouTube. Amen. It's like bad sleeping patterns. It's unhealthy. It pulls us down into those lower tanks. We don't want that. Makes us tired. Poor eating. Very, very important. I said to Dawn the other day, babe, you need to watch what you're eating. No, I didn't say that. I said, I told her, I want to start, Dawn and I have been doing the low carb, half fat thing for probably 14 years now. But I don't know, from 2000 and something else. But we, for the most part, we try and keep our carbohydrates low during the month. So we're not highly finicky, but we try and just keep them low during the month. So at the end of the month, we haven't been chowing down on high carbohydrate stuff, because it's just not healthy for you, especially the refined sugars and the stuff you get. So now you can get into the scientific stuff. But all I want to say to you is you have to check for yourself where you land. But just be careful of what you put into your mouth. So I said to her, we need to eat more fruit, veggies, and meat. Amen. And less cakes and sweets and chocolates. Amen. I think resistance training is very good for you. Because what happens, especially get older, your bones get weaker, your muscles atrophy. So that when you're doing resistance training, and I've read about this, and you can disagree with me, but it's fine. I got the mark. Resistance training is helpful because it keeps your muscles stronger, and it keeps your bones stronger the older you get. Because back 100 years ago, at 50, 60, you were still working in the farm. You weren't parking a retirement home in the Durban North. Amen. So we've got to watch what we eat, friends. You are what you eat. We've got to watch what we eat. Excess weight is just not healthy for you. So, oh, Craig, I'm being terrible. No, just make a change. Take a step forward. Okay, less cakes at night time. Less chocolates at night time. Maybe do intermittent fasting. You eat at night. The last time you eat, the next time you eat is only 12 o'clock the next day. Give that a bash for a month. See how that works for you. So start trying different things. What do I do in order to help my body get out of those lower tanks? Amen. Because we weren't designed to live the lifestyles that we live. Low lack of sleep, high carbohydrate, high sugar foods. It's not healthy for us. So then we wonder why we're so tired during the day. We're so moch and tired. You know, if you watched the UFC this morning and the translator said, yeah, amurom. I'm like, my gosh, we just all laughed. Murom. It's like, for you, no one knows what you're saying except the South Africans. And the translator's talking at first, he's talking in Afrikaans. The translator is the one American guy's like, I think he's translating in their language, other language still. It was just funny. Alrighty, so my last two things. Remember, friends, our bodies are very clever. It's like driving in your car. I've had a friend of mine who told me they had a Jeep they were given. The engine blew. The wife was driving around and she forgot to put oil. And that thing just, it died. We had a leak in our tank. Bevan, who fixes our stuff, great mechanic if you want stuff done in your car. And he said to Dawn and I, we had a problem with our radiator. And he said, keep it for the weekend, I'll bring it on Monday, but be careful, don't drive this thing around. If you, this thing goes flat or front, then you're going to pop the engine. It's a big problem. Amen? A few weeks ago, I've got a few minutes left, but a few weeks ago, it was overheating. I lifted the bonnet up at one of our meetings. I lifted it up. I was going to leave it open for a couple of hours and come back. And the pipe for the air filter that joins the engine had disconnected. You go figure that one out. And that car had become sluggish for a long time. Or just, I just got used to it. It's 20-something years old. So, well, that's just an old vehicle. So, it's just that's what it does. I phoned Bevan the other day, yesterday. I said, I don't know what you do to that vehicle. It feels like it feels like I'm driving Malcolm's truck. And he said, hey, it's just the magic in the hands. Just the air filter. I don't know what else you did, but it just made a massive difference. Amen. That signal, is a signal from the car saying, Craig, something's wrong here, bud. Open me up and check inside. So our bodies give us signals all the time, but we just like, whatever. Yeah. Amen. My knees packing up, hips packing up. Hey, I've got 20 kgs overweight. It's okay, don't worry about it. Oh, okay, hold on. There's a problem here. I feel sluggish. I feel slow. There's a problem here. But the problem is we get so used to operating like that it's okay. All right, two things quick and we're done. Number one, gratefulness or gratitude. We complain about our physical bodies. We complain about the way we look. If you have teenagers, you'll know that's true. Why do I look like this or why this and why that? Actually, we got to be grateful for what God has given us. David says, I praise God because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So I praise the Lord. Lord, I thank you for my heart. I thank you for the way I look. I thank you for whatever. Because you can hate yourself to such a degree that you want to kill yourself. If you can't love you, you can't love others. Amen. The Father wants us to love ourselves for who we are, because He loves you for who you are. He loves the way you look. When you get to heaven, and I get to heaven one day, we get our new bodies, no matter how tall, how short, no matter what you look like on planet Earth, we're all going to be full of the glory of God, and it's going to be amazing. Yeah. There's going to be no, this is better than that. Amen. Because it's God that's going to be the unifying factor in our new heaven, our new bodies. Who's with me? I thank you, Lord, for creating me. I thank you that I can taste food, that I have energy, that I had a good night's sleep last night. Thank you for helping me every day. Friends, we've got to be grateful. Amen. And then make whatever change we can make. I'm not sure that going for, facelifts and nose jobs and all your jobs is all the best thing we can do for ourselves. Amen. Amen. But maybe making a diet change and sleep change and those things, stress causes cortisol, it causes stuff in my body that's unhelpful. It makes me old, it makes me tired, it makes me unhealthy, it makes me sick. That's why the Lord wants us to live by faith and not by fear. And also in our bodies, not to be fearful, but to just do what we can so that we can live longer. Amen. Okay, my last one here, pay attention. As I said just now, Proverbs 4:20. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Pay attention, my boy, my girl, to what I'm saying to you. Now listen to this, Proverbs, just below that 22. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. You see how it becomes physical. Because the Lord He's spoken already from the time I was born. And He said, I've given you a body that's going to speak to you. And it can be me speaking through you to saying, son, I'm talking through you through your physical body. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to the words that are coming out of you so that you can make those changes and bring life to your physical body. Amen? Why? Because we want to come out of the bottom two part of the tank so that we can live life to the full. Why don't we stand together? Has this been helpful? I don't want to leave you with condemnation, friends. People feel bad about themselves. But all the Lord wants us to do is see that actually we can make some adjustments that make us better in the long run. Amen? They help us in the long run by making small incremental adjustments. And that's the goal of this series, is to help you make those adjustments so that down the line you can carry the life of God into the mission of God. Who's with me? Can I pray for you? Yeah. Father, I just thank you for men and women this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray where every man and woman, Matter of fact, I want to ask you, just keep your eyes closed if you don't mind. Why don't you raise your hand with me if you're saying, Craig, I've heard what you said this morning and I want to make some changes in my body, but man, I sometimes struggle with self-discipline. I struggle with these things and self-control. Can you pray for me, Craig, to help me just get better at this thing? I know that I can, and sometimes I struggle. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you this morning. I want to ask God's hand of power to come on you, that you can begin to walk in the self-control that you desire. And I believe as you operate by faith with your hand in the air and you say, Craig, that's me, that their hands have gone up all over this place. I'm telling you, people want to make change. And I know, we know that you can do it. God knows that you can do it because you breathe and you can make changes. Amen. So Father, you see the hands that have gone up this morning. Father, I pray for every man and woman with their hands up in the air, and even those that don't have their hands up in the air that have listened and gone, actually, I understand and I do want to make some changes. Father, I pray that even now you would pour out your Spirit upon us in a powerful way. You would walk in the glory of God, Father, so that we can be the missional people you've called us to be and be healthy and get out of whatever lower tanks we might find ourselves with our physical bodies, because we want to love you, Father, with all our strength in Jesus' name.